Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joining us now is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, it's been a weird and funky series between Nashville and Vancouver. An absolute heartbreaker for the Predators in overtime in Game 4. Yep. They go back on the road for Game 5. Predators find a way to win it. Just what's been your impression so far of an incredibly tight series?
I think it's been great to watch. Great entertainment, great hockey. I've really enjoyed it. As you said, heartbreaker at home in Game 4. I think the way it currently stands right now is fair. Sometimes playoff series are unfair and the wrong team wins, but I think overall Vancouver being up 3-2 is fair, but this is far from over. As I said to you, Carolyn, I was predicting Vancouver in 7, and you know, I wouldn't surprise me at all if the Predators hold serve tomorrow night and we're headed back to Vancouver for Sunday. These are two very even teams playing their hearts out for our entertainment.
And I have opened the door, the possibility for you to flip-flop on that prediction, but you said no, and I admire your persistence there, Elliot.
Nope.
I have been dying all week long to get your perspective on what the Vancouver conversation has been about Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes.
Well, you know, Carolyn, it's sports. If you're the star and you're paid the big dollars, the spotlight shines bright on you. It shines brighter on you than it shines on other people. That's life in the big city. It's a saying I use all the time. That is life in the big city. You're a star player. You've got a big ticket. And the big moments, you are expected to produce. And if things don't work, you're going to get a lot more of the heat than, say, a fourth-line winger or a third-pairing defenseman. That's just the way it is. He hasn't produced. He's struggled at times. He's looked really confused at times. What you guys did in game number 2, I think in particular with all of the shot blocking and the way you guys prevented them from getting lanes, kind of fooled his head a bit. And he's really struggled with it. Now, is it possible he's dealing with something? Yes. I'm always careful with that stuff because at this time of year, nobody's 100% healthy, but there's also degrees. Like some of these injuries are minor things that you have to deal with, and other stuff can be pretty major things that you probably wouldn't be playing with if it was game 42 of the regular season. But at the end of the day, Carolyn, the heat is on them, and that's what happens when you're not producing in the playoffs and you're one of the highest paid players. You can't hide from it. You just have to deal with it.
We'll talk with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast, discussing the Nashville Predators and Vancouver Canucks series. Now, do you foresee any, because the Predators made their adjustment last game with adding Tyson Barry to the power play, and it seems to have had a good effect on the Predators. They end up scoring a goal out of 4 tries. But do you see now Vancouver adjusting to that and making their own lineup changes or adjustments, or do you believe they will stay status quo?
Well, I think the biggest question is going to be what happens in net, Derek. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's going to do here. I guess DeSmith, but you know, some people warned me, don't be surprised if it's Shelovs again. Talkett seems to really like Shelovs, and even though he didn't start the series as the backup. So to me, that's the number one decision, is what are they doing in goal? And the last I checked today, they hadn't announced anything. So we'll see where this is going to go. So that's the big decision. I mean, I don't know how, like, I don't know what, you know, they can probably make changes around the edges of the lineup. They can change their lines if they want to. But in terms of major, major changes, I just don't see it. I mean, there's nobody coming back from injury. So if anything, they can change around the edges or change a line. But the big one is what they're going to do in goal.
Now, you bring up, Vancouver. They're down to their third goalie in this series already. But they've all played well. Do you think it's more so what's in front of them that has caused them to play well, or they're just playing well, period? Because they've been able to protect their goalies after Demko went down. They've been able to protect the two goalies that have been in net. They haven't been able to get as many, pucks on the net against, meaning Predators haven't been getting as many pucks on the net against Vancouver. So do you think it's more so the goalie or what's in front of him?
You know what I think, Derek, honestly? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure that when you were playing, you had some games where it was a huge fight for every yard. Like, you knew that you were going into some games, no matter who you played for.
Baltimore.
You knew the way you're
playing against Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, like, you knew that, we're hard to play against, and that other team over there is hard to play against, and every yard in this series is going to be a fight. I think that's what this series has turned into. You guys are making Vancouver earn every inch of the ice that they get. Every inch Vancouver has to earn it. And I think they've done it back to you. I think that they've responded in kind, which is the way the playoffs should be. Like, every puck battle should be hard. Every time you go into a zone, it should be hard. Like, the playoffs are supposed to be hard. The regular season is not like the playoffs. You can't play 82 games in the regular season like you play 28 in the playoffs. And that's, to me, what this series is. Like, you look at the identity of some of your players on your team, they're going to make life hard for the team they're playing against. And that's what's happened here. I just think that these two teams have really buckled down. Look, you guys have made life miserable on Quinn Hughes. Miserable. And that's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. And aside from that one great rush he had to leave with a tying goal the other day, Vancouver, they haven't punished Josi as much, but he's not doing as many Roman Josi things as we're used to seeing him do. So all of these great players are getting handled physically or defensively. And that's what this is all about. Now, the one guy I've watched a lot for Nashville, and I know Brunette's been asked about him a bit, is Novak. And, like, to me, he's one of the big X factors. Like, you talk about Pettersson and how he has not yet gotten going. Like, Tommy Novak is not on the level of Pettersson, but I think he's a really good player. And you can tell he's struggling. He's having a battle with this. I really think that if Novak can get going, that would be a huge thing for you guys to get your offense going.
Elliot Friedman is with us, the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, the other thing I think you and Jeff Merrick have talked about too is the physicality part of the series, the hits back and forth, the tempers flaring. You got Zadorov and Joshua who are largely guys that the Predators fans probably didn't know much about that they're growing the hatred for because of the hard-nosed way that they're playing. And I think Kiefer Sherwood and Cole Smith and Michael McCarron probably weren't names that were that familiar to a lot of Vancouver fans, but they're inflicting a lot of that damage as well. The war of attrition kind of thing as the series goes along is a factor.
Yeah, I think so, especially in a series like this one because, everybody is taking pieces out of each other. They might not have known Zadorov and Joshua before the series, but they sure do now. There's no question about that. But, that's what this is all about. It's not supposed to be easy, and it isn't easy. And, I think everybody knows it. Everybody knows what they sign up for. When you finish game 82 of the regular season and game one of the playoffs, everybody knows this is going to be different. And if you don't know about it, you find out about it awfully quick.
Elliot, let's bounce around to a couple other series going on and a couple of stories. I was watching, of course, the winner, whoever wins this series, will now get Edmonton, and that was expected.
Yep.
But Edmonton beat the Kings in the first round 2 years ago in 7 games, where they were down 3 games to 2. They had to win in L.A. to stay alive, but they ended up winning that series. Last year, 6 games. This year, five games. And L.A. was, you know, you just came out of there saying they were fortunate to win one. It does look like Edmonton has got everything rolling. When they get to a certain level, I don't know if anybody has an answer.
Well, I mean, you guys have seen that. I mean, Draisaitl and McDavid have tortured you guys over the years, in particular.
Don't remind
us. Some of their best plays I've seen in Nashville. but like, that was the thing. Like, so one of the ways to look at if your team is doing well in the playoffs or not, aside from the obvious wins stat, is you keep track. You add up their power play number with their penalty kill number. It's the special teams number. And if you're a really good team, you're usually between 105 and 110. You add those two numbers up. Now, it's a short sample size. It's 5 games. The numbers are a bit skewed. But Edmonton finished that series at 145 and LA at 55. Like, that's a huge disparity. In a short series, it is borderline impossible to overcome that. And my coworker Kevin Bieksa, who used to play for the Canucks in Anaheim, he kept on showing in this series how the Kings kept on trying to adjust their penalty kill. Like, they tried something that's called a diamond formation, which is four people in a diamond. And then they tried something which was, Kevin called it last night, basically a 1-3, which was one player up high and three players down low. And whatever they tried, Edmonton just destroyed it. You know, McDavid skated through it, or Zach Hyman, who they're calling, you know, Shaq Hyman, is in front of the net, or Draisaitl, the great shooter, can put it in from any angle, or Bouchard, who's got the big shot from the blue line, he can put his Bouch bomb in from there. Like, no matter what LA tried, and they tried, McDavid and the Oilers just ruined it. And that, if they're going like that, they're going to be awfully hard to beat.
In Toronto tonight, there's an absolutely massive game as Toronto, I think, answered some critics by getting a tough win in Game 5 to stay alive. Now they're in the Predators' position, coming back home trying to force a Game 7. But there's this mysterious Austin Matthews illness that has kept him out. And what's his status for tonight, and what have you found out about that?
You know, it's, Willie, were you at my gym? I was just at my gym, and everybody kept on asking me about Matthews. I know.
Imagine that in Toronto, people asking you about Matthews. Yeah.
I know this story is unbelievable because it features me going to a gym, but I trust you. I tell you, it's actually true. He's not playing tonight. They've already announced it. He skated this morning, but it was before the group that will play. And he won't play. And I think it's definitely more than an illness, Willie. I think what happened here is he played a great game. The first game Toronto won in the series was Game 2. And I thought it was the best game he'd ever played as a pro. And I know he scored a lot, but full-time, compete, both ends of the ice, 1 minute to 60, I thought it was the best game he played. At some point after that game, he got sick. And initially, someone thought it was like a food poisoning. Now it's morphed to, I don't know, viral bug something. I don't know what it was. But you know what? That's 12 days ago, or whatever. It's 10 days ago now, Willie. My suspicion is that he was playing less than 100%, like a lot of guys are, and something happened where he got hurt. Either he got hit or something happened and he suffered an injury. So I don't think this is just about the illness anymore. I think it's something that happened while he was playing with it. Now, we showed a play last Saturday night in Game 4. He left that game at the end of the second period. There was a playoff, a faceoff late in the second period where he looked like he was hurt and wasn't moving that well. I've had some people dispute that was it. But it was clear that in one of his last shifts of the series to this point, he was far from 100%.
Now, the one other thing I wanted to ask you about was, and this is more of a preview of what's to come perhaps in the summer, but you guys on your podcast were talking about Tampa Bay lost for the second year in a row in the first round. And we've remarked throughout the season on our broadcast how often you're doing a game and you're saying to yourself, well, here's so-and-so that was a teammate of Luke Shen and Ryan McDonough as members of those great Tampa Bay teams. It seems like some of those great role players are scattered throughout the hockey universe. Everybody's got an ex-Lightning guy, and why wouldn't you? Because they were such a great team. But they've lost so many guys year by year. They're obviously trying to hang on to being a good team. And Steven Stamkos is now going to be a free agent. I've had more than one person come up to me, Elliot, and say, don't be surprised if the Predators, if he becomes available, would not jump in there and maybe make a play for him. And I had not thought of that as a remote possibility until these last couple weeks when some people have thrown that out at me. What do you think about that?
Well, Willie, let me just say first with the caveat that I think if Tampa Bay makes any kind of reasonably competitive offer, I think Stamkos will stay. Because I believe that is his choice and that is what he wants. And I think if the Lightning are, like, they're not going to give him the best offer, I don't think, but if they give him something competitive, he's going to be inclined to say, all right, let's get it done. Now, if he gets to July 1st, I think it's possible that players like Lou Shen and Ryan McDonough might kidnap him from Florida and bring him to Tennessee. Do I think that's do I think that's impossible? No, I, as long as the Lightning are in the ballpark, they are the favorites to keep him. But if it does come to, you guys have been looking for scoring. If you saw him play, he played his heart out in that first round. He is still a very good and very effective player. He would be perfect for any team. But I am sure that the guys on the Lightning who know him well, and there are at least two, would definitely say there's a place for you here if you wanted it. But I think it's likely he stays.
It's interesting to me, though, from where if Tampa is looking over at Pittsburgh and seeing what Pittsburgh is going through now with aging stars who have now missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, Tampa is now in that phase where they're still a playoff team, they're still really good, but they're clearly down a level from when they had it. Is it possible from afar, if you take the heartstrings out of it, that the best move is better for them if they let Stamkos go and start to see if they can reshuffle and start moving in that direction? That's a hard thing to decide, though, because the attachment is heavy.
The way Tampa's unafraid to make hard decisions. Like you have to look no further than Ryan McDonough. You know, basically a day after they lost the Stanley Cup in 2022, they told McDonough, look, like, you're going to have to work with us here or else we're going to have to do something dramatic, right? So Tampa's unafraid to make hard decisions, and that's why I think there will be a limit to what they're willing to offer Stamkos. But the fact is, Willie, he played great.
He had a great year.
He played his heart out, and in the playoffs, he was one of their best players. Like, I don't know if you guys saw that highlight of him making the save on the empty net. Like, if you don't care or it doesn't matter to you, you're not making that play. And I think he cares a lot. I think being the captain of the Lightning is very important to him. I don't think there's any part of him that, like, he could have left years ago easily, and he went back to Tampa. That's where his heart is. That's where he wants to be. And, like, if he was not effective, now, the one thing I think that is absolutely true, Willie, is they have to start building around these guys. I think the biggest difference in Tampa is not their top-end talent, but the talent around their top-end talent. They've lost Barkley Goodrow. They've lost Andre Palat. They've lost Yanni Gord. They've lost Blake Coleman. They've lost Ryan McDonough, who is a huge part of that team. That's the difference to me, is they still have their Kucherov. They still have their Point. They still have their Hedman. But they don't have all those other guys who made their team better. That's the difference to me between the Lightning then and now.
Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, thanks for your time today. Always appreciate your insight, and especially in the playoffs, because like we say, sleep when the playoffs are over.
That's right, Carolyn. You know it. Sleep when they're over.
All right, appreciate it, Elliot. We'll catch up with you next week.
Take care, guys.
All right, appreciate it.